In a few minutes, a connection between class, education level, and traffic fatalities. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. This morning, crude oil was at $44 a barrel after the International Energy Agency predicted the glut keeping prices low will continue for years, till about the year 2020, perhaps. Great news if you stick a nozzle into your tank regularly or heat your house with number two oil, but it is not good news for the industry. Julie Neiman is an analyst at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis. Good morning to you.
Morning, David.
All right, the IEA has spoken. They don't think oil prices are going back up much?
Oh, they're saying that cleaner fuels and greater efficiency and very modest demand is really going to give a glut here.
So this IEA outfit, in its infinite wisdom, did they predict the great collapse in oil prices more than a year and a half ago?
They did not. In fact, no major agency predicted that we would see this big of a glut. So instead of the glut lasting from 2020, maybe another 4 or 5 years.
All right. What is driving this, though?
Basically, we're looking at huge lack of demand growth and a slow economic recovery for the globe. Plus, we have a huge amount of inventory. And there's no evidence that anybody is significantly cutting back on production. A lot of the frackers and the smaller drillers are now up for sale, if not by the banks. The markets are beginning to sell it off as well. And this will be the beginning of the big unwinding here in oil stocks. So we have a long ways to go on this. Prices are still going to stay low for the foreseeable future.
Julie Neiman at Smith Moore & Company, St. Louis. Thank you.
You bet.
And now to research showing your class, how poor or rich you are, predicts your likelihood of dying in a traffic accident. Think about who had access first to airbags or now the lane departure warning systems in cars, who has to ride a bike or walk in bad weather. Sam Harper is a professor of epidemiology, biostatistics, and occupational health at McGill University in Montreal. His new study in the American Journal of Epidemiology looked at traffic fatalities and education levels as a proxy for class. Over a 15-year stretch, Professor Harper, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Happy to be with you.
So among the things you looked at were traffic fatalities and education level. What did you find?
The United States has made great strides in reducing rates of traffic crash mortality over the past decades. What we were interested in looking at is how this broke down by education and really trying to answer the question of whether or not all education groups are sort of benefiting from these improvements over time. And so what we found was a pretty substantial gap between the lowest and the highest educated groups in the U.S. in terms of their traffic crash mortality. And I think more distressingly, we found that the extent of this gap has been increasing over the past 15 years or so.
What might account for that? Do you think it's driving behavior? Is it the type of roads that people who fit that demographic might drive?
As you might guess, there are a lot of potential causes, and we still don't have any definitive research to sort of say exactly why this is happening. But it is true, I think in the past decade or so, there have been some really important improvements in car safety, new features, electronic stabilization control, mandatory front and now, you know, side and even rollover airbags. And to the extent that lower educated people have less access to these kinds of safety features, this could be consequential in terms of their potential mortality in a car crash.
Now, what about the infrastructure of the roads? You go to some parts of the United States where incomes are high, one presumes education levels higher, and there's some pretty fancy traffic engineering and modern roads. One wonders about other parts of the country.
Clearly, that could be another contributing factor. I mean, we have a lot of economic segregation in the United States, and a lot of things travel together with income and education. And amenities, like you said, like improved roadways, you know, better safety features in terms of sort of the infrastructure, and lower educated people are actually less likely to own cars, and so they often use forms of travel like motorcycles and bicycles and walking that also tend to have increased risks of death conditional on getting into an accident.
Sam Harper is a professor of epidemiology and occupational health at McGill University in Montreal. Professor, thank you.
Thank you.
The professor says we also need more research on levels of education and where high-end trauma hospitals are located. Fast food, childcare, and other low-wage workers are walking off the job today in 270 U.S. cities, the target of the strikes and protests, raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson is on the story. Tracy, what are you hearing?
The strike, a year before the 2016 elections, seeks to flex the political muscle of low-wage workers, workers like Warner Massey Jr., a contractor in building maintenance at the U.S. Senate.
I currently make $13.50 now, being the lead person on the team, but that's still not enough for what they're asking us to do. I just want to be able to live comfortably.
He hopes the senators who pass him in the halls might vote to increase the federal minimum wage, which is currently $7.25 an hour. A majority of states now have minimums higher than the federal, but critics argue those increases harm businesses and hurt hiring. Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton favors an increase to $12 an hour. Her challenger Bernie Sanders supports $15. Most Republican candidates oppose an increase.
Tracy, thank you. And when Gordon Lightfoot's song about the Edmund Fitzgerald came out in 1976, many thought it was a ballad about some ancient shipwreck. The thing is, the terrible disaster had happened just a year before, November 1975, 40 years ago today. It was the biggest ship ever to sink in the Great Lakes. Load of iron ore, a storm, no distress call, no bodies recovered, 29 people died. Regulation of shipping was revamped on the Great Lakes in the aftermath. From studios at Montclair State University today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.